All right, maybe you guys should text in and help out this listener who said a client is in town from Austin, Texas, free night tonight looking for a restaurant recommendation. Well, Uber anywhere, happy to grab a seat at the bar. Where do you send it? So that's your challenge at 651-461-9226. I have some ideas. I'll let you know at 4:30. And we're giving away Twins tickets today. We're giving away Twins tickets.
Not now.
But when you hear the Twins, Win Twins sounder, call in and be caller three. Those tickets are for Saturday night against Kansas City. Let's welcome our next guest to talk about, can you insult AI? Greg Swan explains the internet.
From viral chaos to tech.
Greg, if I insult that song, if I tell the machine that created that song, this sucks, you're an idiot, or worse, is there anything wrong with it?
I think that's what we need to figure out. Is that unethical? Is there a line? Can you be prejudiced against technology? Can you invent a slur for these things?
There's a term for this. And that term is clanker.
Ooh, we didn't get beeped. So
I'm allowed to say that?
I think we're okay.
All right. Why are ethicists struggling with this? The only struggle about this, sort of tangentially related that I've heard about, is this sort of energy related question on whether we should be thanking, like saying thank you to Alexa or thank you to ChatGPT. Because that does require like the whole sit. So this is sort of like the next level of that question, but you're getting into kind of an interesting ethical area.
It really is. And think about how much technology is now into all of our lives to the point where we have frustrating moments with this technology, whether that is your phone's voice to text doesn't work, your Alexa in your home, like the timer doesn't go off for your frozen pizza, or your smart car doesn't start. And what's happening is there's starting to be some pushback, plus the AI thing, the idea that some of this technology could impact our livelihoods and our way of life. Yeah. We're starting to see some coalescing around pushback. And one of those things is this new word, which actually has a fascinating history of clanker, where they're saying, you know, you clanker, get out of my way. With like imagine a delivery robot in the sidewalk in front of you, and you'd be like, clanker, get out of the way. Maybe there's a fun robot like creating coffee or popcorn, handing it to you, and you'd be like, oh, the clankers have taken our jobs. Now in the future, we could look back and this entire episode could maybe get you and I canceled for using that
for
language.
Using this term, because it, you know, meanings of words change.
They change over time.
Yeah,
my kids would say this is not a thing and the media is making it a thing, and that the more that we talk about it, even today, are we making it happen? But where does that word come from? It comes from Star Wars. Of course it comes from Star Wars.
Dan Cook was sitting there as our resident Star Wars nerd.
I knew.
And the clanker in the Star Wars
ironically, it's what the clone stormtroopers called the robot droid army figures.
Yeah, so imagine in the heat of battle, and we've had this over generations, like you come up with derogatory phrases to call the enemy.
Sure.
That's what happened in Star Wars. Now that's being pulled forward into culture. And I think at first, ironically, as a nod to that, is geek culture. And now maybe tipping over more into the mainstream as more people are feeling some of that. So one of the things we talked about on the podcast that I do with Jenny Swan, The Cave Project, is we really dove into the emotional side of that. Of saying thank you, of being angry at your robot vacuum, of the idea of maybe part of your job was taken by this thing. And there's a real tension there. And also, I don't say thank you to my voice assistants.
I used to, and I don't now.
And, you know, digging into that a little bit, like, maybe we should. I don't know.
Yeah. It is a funny thing in a way to think about, because like I have for sure like yelled at Siri before for like not answering me correctly. And my wife's car has like a smart thing that sometimes is dumb. And I wouldn't, I guess on the face of it, it seems preposterous because I wouldn't treat a human that way.
No.
So who cares if I'm just yelling at a machine?
And yet, think about a robot dog, and we feel both, we're a little scared of that, and also if someone was kicking that robot dog, you would feel bad. We project humanity onto things, like almost like, imagine your robot vacuum with googly eyes on it. You're going to feel different. We give them names. We give our cars names.
True.
We give lots of things names. Why? Because we're personifying them. And so is it only natural now, as the internet is progressing, as technology is progressing, for us to feel tension there and need language to put them down? Unfortunately, I think so.
Really interesting. I don't know. I feel it is one of those things that we may look back on, right? Because part of the negative of being mean to robots is that part of the AI is that they're taking all of this in and learning from it. So you can take the one hand, you and me being mean to a robot, but we've also seen what happens when people are like anti-Semitic or racist to like Grok, the Twitter AI, or to ChatGPT. And that kind of disturbing things can happen as a result of that, right? So there are like real consequences to some of this.
There are. And unfortunately, racism, prejudice, discrimination is part of how the human experience. And now that the robots are more into our human experience, we're starting to put them in some of those same places. And today, there's not hate speech against that. There is not necessarily laws against that. In the future, some have said there could be like an AI or a robot like Bill of Rights and those sorts of things. I think we are very far away from that. And also, to me, these are those signals of where society is feeling some tension. I'm saying that doesn't feel so good. And starting to center around some of this language is a signal of where those things could be going.
A texter says, I always say thank you to our future robot overlords.
Excellent. There's the karma approach.
That is the karma approach.
I'm going to put in all the thank yous and everything now, so it's on the record.
I do it sometimes. I say thank you. And then since I've read about the energy waste that comes from that, now I've stopped doing it. But this is part of when you have a nascent technology like that, we're always trying to figure out like, all right, like, what am I supposed to do about that?
Yeah. Well, and one of my favorite...
a good thing that we're struggling with.
I think so.
Yeah.
And I love thinking about Rosie the Robot from the Jetsons. It was only on for a couple of seasons. It's impacted our idea of sci-fi so much.
True.
To have this home helper robot. Imagine not being polite to Rosie.
Yeah.
Not saying thank you, not treating her right. And there are new personal home helper robots that are coming to market right now, $5,000-$6,000, that will be able to do basic things in your home. We are years away, probably in January, coming out of the Consumer Electronics Show. I'll have some of those to share with you that are a little more affordable or realistic. But as those pieces of technology are further humanized, we assign emotion to them, and they're part of our lives, I would hope that we do have decorum with them, and that I would want them to treat me the same way.
I mean, I got to believe that most of our audience is listening to this and just thinking, what an absolute load. Like, because it is a little, like, it's a little preposterous.
It is. And yet, if you go search for clankers on the internet and start watching some of these videos, you're going to see people really doing some damage to technology and these robots. And I think remember when they drained Mississippi River under the Stornish Bridge and they found all those bird scooters? Some people maybe threw the bird scooters in to, you know, they don't believe in them or whatever, but also there was some real animosity about those things on our sidewalks and where they were. And I think that people often are trying to organize around or something that maybe they can't verbalize through actions. And some of the content that you'll find online around this term clankers is really disturbing, and it really shows that we are working through some stuff as a society when it comes to how technology is impacting our daily life.
All right. I did put a picture of Rosie up on the YouTube.
Bless
stream.
Her heart. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you could never. Now, what I say to Siri, I would never. say to Rosie?
Oh, my gosh, right?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Let's break. It's 419. When we come back, we're going to talk about the age-gated internet. Online anonymity, privacy. Are you, and I've had to do it, take a picture of my driver's license and then say a little prayer that someone doesn't steal this? What are you doing with these conundrums? We'll talk about that when we come back. Greg Swan explains the internet as we continue on a Tuesday afternoon on Drive Time. Giving away Twins kit tickets today. The Twins gave away most of the team last week. So, you know, still fun to go to the ballpark, right? Especially when it's free. Four tickets for Saturday between now and 5 o'clock at some point.
Yeah, don't call now.
You'll hear that sound effect. Dan would hate it if you called now. But would you hear the sound effect? 651-461-9226 is the number to call. Greg Swan is with us. And I have noticed this, Greg, over the last kind of couple days, where there are more questions on websites about your age. And this is all because of the United Kingdom. A law in the UK. On the surface, literally no one is upset on the surface with the idea of keeping adult stuff away from kids.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of porn on the internet. And so the idea of requiring some ID, it on the surface makes a lot of sense. But what's the problem with it?
It does. Well, it goes to the idea of who decides and then how, and then also where does that information go? So you mentioned you have had to do, some of us have done, we have to hold your ID up next to your face.
Right.
You send it into some sort of secure process server. They theoretically are approving you and deleting that content. I think we've learned over the years some healthy skepticism.
Yeah.
Of where that content
right.
is. And so
even the most secure kind of well-respected sort of data handlers get hacked, make mistakes.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, of anything, I guess Social Security card would be the worst thing for people to get
probably
their hands on, but driver's license is pretty close.
Yeah, right? And I think, you know, so we've lived in a generation where every person in your neighborhood's name and their address was printed in a book and put on your front step at least once a year.
Yes.
To the idea that your address, it unlocks, you can go to Zillow and see how much that person bought on their house. You can Google them and figure out who they're related to and what their name is. Like our privacy, it exists around the idea of who we are. And also the rise in AI is also making that sketchy too. Mm-hmm. So then we layer on top this idea of absolutely we should be careful of kids and what they have access to. Absolutely.
Right.
Especially when it comes to adult Easy. Sexual content.
Easy. Yeah.
No brainer. Who decides how far that goes? And I think that is where, again, there's some healthy skepticism of those in power globally, locally, where are we legislating things like their access to healthcare information, perhaps like identity information, or even like, let's say that I have a hobby that's niche, but it's not dirty.
Right.
Do I need to prove who I am to see that? And we're already seeing platforms like Tinder and Reddit start to step up and say, yes, to use these platforms, you're going to have to prove who you are. Now, Tinder is dating.
Fine. You see like some safety issues.
Fine.
Okay.
Reddit is overrun with trolls. And it also, that is a place if you are a person who's looking for your others and you can't find them regionally for forever since the birth of the internet, you've been able to go find your others
yeah.
on the
yeah.
internet. And so
it threw an anonymous gateway to be able to do that.
Correct. And is there abuse sometimes? Yep.
Yeah. But isn't that the cost of freedom?
Is it abuse to withhold that from everyone? Yes,
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
And so who decides? And even in Minnesota, there has been proposed legislation to limit access to social media sites alone.
Yeah.
For, you know, letting those, you know, under 15 not have access to Instagram, for example. And so what we're seeing
Roblox has added some age verification
correct.
As well.
So what we're seeing with this age-gated internet happening in the UK is really a signal where things are probably coming here, given where the administration is and where some of the winds are here, meaning the United States. I think that we're going to start to see different states make different choices, and then the platforms will make different choices. Just like many platforms pulled out of India or pulled out of Europe when there was overly stringent things,
right?
They may choose not to be here or maybe not to be in a specific state.
Politicians love this stuff because on a very surface level, it's incredibly attractive. Where you're like, yes, protect children. Yes, you, because most people are not trolls.
Yeah.
Most people are not engaged in this sort of hate speech
Correct.
On Reddit. So most people are like, this makes a lot of sense. So it's weird to be a good person and a positive participator yeah. on the internet saying like, well, I'm a little nervous about giving all this power yeah. to the tech company.
Yeah, and be like, oh, so you're defending that yeah, children should right. see adult no. content? It's like, no, that's a wedge issue. Like, that's not what we're talking about.
That's not it. Yeah.
What we are talking about, though, is there is a history of moral panics of especially young people or different people accessing things like books, different materials, the internet, and there's power involved mm-hmm. in some of
yeah.
that. It's going to be fascinating because this is not going to slow down. And if you remember a couple months ago, I came in really excited because I got my irises scanned to prove that I'm a real person
yes.
so that I can sign in with that login information, maybe to renew my driver's license.
Sometimes we like this stuff when it makes our life easier, but sometimes it's nerve-wracking when you worry about.
It's almost like technology is a tool just like fire yeah. oh, where it can be huh. good and it can be bad and it depends how you use it.
It's almost like that. Greg Swan, we love these monthly visits. You're going to join us at the State Fair, I think.
Cannot wait.
Excellent. Thanks, Greg. You can
See
follow
you on
Greg
the internet.
On the internet. At Greg Swan on X. It's on all of the things. And he did shout out his Substack, which is called?
So the Cave Project, that Substack, we did a full podcast episode on clankers. If you want to hear me bleep myself saying clanker,
check it out.
Come on out.
Nate Burleson, you know him from CBS This Morning, maybe from Hollywood Squares, former Minnesota Viking. He joins us in just a minute to talk about a new project he's working on and gives a little bit of a hot take on the new Vikings quarterback. We'll talk with Nate in just a minute here on CCO.